Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Chicago. I have my own kind of politics, my own kind of music, my sports teams, and when I laugh, the whole world grins. I have my own radio station, WGN. We go all day, we go all night. Anytime you want me, just tune in here or give me a call.
WGN Radio in Chicago.
Classic WGN radio commercial. And I've been asked countless times over the years, and this is what we're going to do for the next half hour, is talk about some of the genealogy between Chicago radio and television, their call letters, something we do every couple years with a buddy of mine I'll introduce in a minute. But all these call letters have a meaning. They have a specific meaning, just like WGN does. I actually just had this conversation with a millennial, we'll say, on Thursday night as we talked about, you know, radio in Chicago. So again, this week I thought about the one person that has all this stored up useless information.
Who's that?
And look at this.
Did you bring someone into the studios? I can't see the whole room over there.
No, you can't.
There's somebody in there that with you. I'm going to be glued
useless
to my radio.
Useless information would be when I think useless information.
Thank you.
I think of Roger Radish from the WGN Newsroom. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Yourself? Huh?
I was aggravated a little bit driving in here because people just again forget how to drive and in this weather and. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to take a deep breath. Okay. It's going to be fine. Okay. Now, this person that I talked to knew that WGN meant world's greatest newspaper.
Sure.
I think most people know that. It was on the nameplate, really, of the newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, for 65 years. Mm-hmm. It ended, I think, in 1976, but it debuted in like 1911. And you know, the world's greatest newspaper are not used as a boast, is what this says, but a statement of fact in which people who make this paper, people who read it, people who advertise in it, and many impartial experts firmly believe. And you know, it was 1924 that the paper, you know, because we were owned by the Tribune at one point, acquired the radio station WDAP, and Colonel Robert McCormick, who owned the Tribune, changed the station's call letters to GN so that there was some synergy between the radio station and the newspaper.
Actually, the original broadcast, they shared the frequency with another radio station.
That's right.
Different call letters. And if I'm not mistaken, the original broadcast came out of the Edgewater Beach Hotel.
It did. Yep.
The hotel itself is gone. It's been gone for several decades.
Yes.
The apartment building next to it, if anyone ever drives up Lakeshore Drive, right north, right when it starts at Sheridan Road there, you will see the Edgewater Beach Apartments, which look exactly like the hotel did before it was demolished. It was a pink building.
Right.
It was a resort of a lot of people out there.
Kind of a cool place to put a radio station.
Cool. Yeah. Well, they had a lot of big Hollywood stars and singers and show people
Used
to come out there, and so they put them on the radio.
Yeah, made a lot of sense. And we were at the Drake, too, I think. I mean, we bounced around a lot before we went to the Tribune. Everyone thinks since we were on the air, we were at the Tribune Tower.
No. In fact, for a while, the station moved from the tower, if I'm not mistaken, over to the TV station on Bradley Place, and then came back downtown.
That's right.
And you know, for a time, WGN actually had an FM station.
Yes, we did.
And the original call letters for that were not really call letters. They were numbers and letters. W59C started in 1941 on 45.9 FM. And it was eventually WGNB. And it becomes...
That's not creative.
WFMT.
Oh, is that what the frequency is?
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Well, to explain to folks, you know, because as we get into this,
sure,
There's W's in the Midwest and, mm-hmm. and the East, obviously, mm-hmm. and a lot of stations start with a K on the West Coast. Talk to us a little
bit
about that.
So this started with the Federal Radio Commission, which is a precursor to the Federal Communications Commission, which actually is an arm of Congress. It is not under the president's direct control. It's under the arm of Congress because the public or the airwaves, not cable TV, regular TV, regular radio, is owned by the public. It's the public airwaves is how it's originally been determined by the Communications Act. And back in 1922, in order to keep everyone from broadcasting on the same frequency, where you would not hear anything, the government stepped in and said, okay, you got to be here, you got to be there, you got to be here. They divided everyone up on the AM side. FM came later because it hadn't been discovered yet. And so the AM signal was divided up, and stations were spread out not only within a city, but by cities. Because some stations were broadcasting with a lot of power, like we are, the 50,000-watt love pump, and we're one of what's called the...
What did he just... I don't know if I like that.
Can you hit the... Can you hit
Should I dump that?
Yeah, dump. Yeah, I would dump that, Tom, if I were you. Jesus. All right, go ahead.
We're one of about 20 clear channel radio stations in America that broadcast non-directional, 50,000 watts, 24/7. So on a clear night, you can get us in California, in Canada, in Mexico.
No, when I was driving in Dallas, man, I was listening to a Hawks game in when I was driving through Ohio. I mean, it's it's very easy to pick up, especially early in the morning, right, late at night, for sure.
Yeah. So real quick on the W's and the K's.
Yes. Yes,
so
sir.
W stations east of the Mississippi start with the letter W. The stations west of the Mississippi start with the letter K. So you can have a WABC in New York and a KABC out on California. Now, the original demarcation line was not the Mississippi, which is why you have some stations that have a K east of the Mississippi and some with a W west of the Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
The original demarcation line was the far left, the west border of Texas, going straight up. So you were way west of the Mississippi.
Yeah.
So then they eventually moved it to the Mississippi, used that as a demarcation line. So you've still got about 20 radio stations west of the Mississippi that have a W at the start of their call letters.
I think Minneapolis, St. Paul, there's mixed W's and K's in that city as well. King of worthless information, by the way. I'm just crowning you. That was very nice.
I appreciate it. Now, there's also a C and an X that start call letters in North America. And the C is for
clown.
Class clown. A distinction you and I both share, I think.
Yes, yes.
No, C is for Canadian stations.
Oh, okay, right.
And the X is for Mexican stations with towers in Mexico.
Well, and there was also an N. There was an N for government stations back in the day. Mm-hmm. So here in Chicago, I mean, obviously, you know, we're as old or just about as old as WLS, but Sears was very big into radio in the very beginning of the 1920s. And they began broadcast as WBBX, I guess. And then they changed the call letters to WES after World's Economy Store because they were, you know, naming it after themselves, which then moved to WLS for World's Largest Store. That's what LS stands for. But please continue listening to WGN.
Of course.
The other one, WMAQ, which is one of the older radio stations in town, and now the name of the TV station, what do those stand for, Mr. Badish? WMAQ.
Wow. NBC originally owned, the NBC network owned WMAQ AM and FM, which I worked at the FM, which used to be.
Tom's raising his hand.
Can I raise my hand, TJ Badish? Is it We Must Ask Questions?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we must
ask questions. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Those four years at Loyola did something.
Is that what it was? Okay, good for you, man.
Have a full class on this?
I had to take a quiz on all the call letters.
Oh, my goodness. That's
did
great.
You really? That was part of the class.
Yeah, dead serious.
That was fantastic.
WCFL. AM 1000 is what it was.
Chicago Federation of Labor.
Yeah.
They owned it.
Yeah. Exactly.
And where was their original broadcast facility?
I don't know.
It's across the river.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the towers.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's where their studios were. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that's where the original WFLD TV studios were also.
Okay. All right. WVON originally in 63 was the voice of the Negro. Now it's the voice of the nation, what it is called. WIND first signed on in 27. Same guy that started WBBM. We'll talk about that. But IND is not about the Windy City.
Not at all, because originally it was licensed to Indiana.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go.
JJD.
It's named after the owner, and the name escapes me.
It was owned by Marshall Fields. See, all these department stores had their own radio station. That's kind of what it was all about.
Well, they had the space for it. And, and if you go back to the extreme history of broadcasting, most radio stations were started by snake oil salespeople, started by department stores, started by actually WSM was started by an insurance company, and they sponsored the Grand Ole Opry, and that's how they eventually got out and sold insurance.
WBBM, there's a couple different versions of these.
Yeah.
We Broadcast Better Music was one of them, and then for a time the callers were also known to mean World's Best Battery Maker, because the radio station was run by the Atlas Brothers, who that's what they did for a living.
Yeah.
WBKB, now we're talking a little television in here.
Yeah, you're throwing the TV in there, and we haven't touched on that before, but it's Balaban and Katz, which owned a theater chain.
Theater chains,
very huge theater chain throughout the Chicago, and most of the country, I think.
But, I mean, literally, you think about all these stations kind of came out of a business that wanted to promote
their
own wares. All right, we're going to geek out a little bit more. with Roger Badish. We're talking about all these crazy call letters, what they mean in Chicago. Just to escape a little bit. Snowing outside. Some worthless information just to chill back and sit and relax.
Give me a little edumacation.
Yes, you got it. All right, we'll be right back.
For nearly 100 years, it's been Chicago's very own.
It's Bob Sirott.
It's great to hear the legendary Bob Sirott back on the radio.
Thanks very much. WGN Radio 720 and WGNRadio.com.
That's one of our latest commercials for WGN Radio. So some caller asked, or texter 847 asked, about WKRP.
Incense.
Yeah.
You know, not quite Chicago.
No, it's not. Yeah. But there's a station in Raleigh, North Carolina that had the call letters.
Okay.
A station in North Vernon, Indiana. One in Atlanta, Georgia, and one in Salt Lake City. So they've all used the call letters at some point.
Can I throw out what I think it stands for?
Yeah.
WKRP?
Yeah.
We Keep Raining Poultry.
Oh, I like that. The old turkey drop. I like
that.
Very good.
You figured that out a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
We're talking a little Chicago radio and television genealogy, kind of where the origins of some of these things come from. We talked about MAQ. ENR was a station that was WLS before, but ENR was the owner. Was Ian Rowland, I guess. WTTW, Window to the World. I think that's an easy one. What about Field? WFLD was Field.
Field Communications.
Which was Marshall Fields again.
Yeah. Let me give you a quick one. You asked about WJJD.
Yeah.
J.J. Davies was apparently the original owner, and I think that's where they originally came from.
Okay.
And let me throw out WMAQ again, which is kind of weird because, as we mentioned, NBC used to own them.
Yeah.
But William A. Quinn was the publisher of the Chicago Daily News. And I believe was the original owner of that call letter.
Is it for Howard? Okay.
I believe so.
Okay.
How about WBEZ?
Now tell me.
Board of Education.
Oh,
WBZ, originally owned by the Board of Education.
That's right.
Now it's independently owned, I believe. WBMX. Now here's one from your past and my far past. BMX. Black Music Experience. The call letters, we were just talking about this, how call letters switch around the country a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, and, you know, a station wants to repurpose itself. They pick different call letters to represent the kind of format that they have. And when they get rid of the old call letters, someone else can grab them. So WBMX is now a station in Boston.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
They're using those call letters.
WSNS, which was TV
44. Sure, where, sure.
The SNS theater chain was part owner. Mm-hmm. And it was called SNS, E-S-S-A-N-E-S-S.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just the abbreviation.
I wonder if it was related in any way to the SNA movie studios that started here in Chicago maybe. Before they went to Hollywood. Interesting.
Short-lived Spanish station that shared time on WPW Hour Power. Mm-hmm. It was all stood for. It was WBBS. It was Bulls, Blackhawks, and Sox, because that was mainly what was on that station.
Oh, a small sports station. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Mm-hmm. WCLR. It's not what you may think it is.
Yeah.
What a CLR would be like
clear channel,
right? Clear channel. Yeah, no, man. Chicago's Light Rocks, Light Rock. Excuse me.
Okay.
How about? I got to give a shout out to this. I have to. Mm-hmm. Now you won't know this one because it's a student station.
Oh, okay.
It's a high school student station.
All right.
WDGC. This is out of Downers Grove Community High School District.
Tom, anything?
No. Well, I want to test you, Roger. Can I throw a test at you?
Oh, my God, please,
all right.
Yes.
Tell me what radio station has the call letters WLUW.
Loyola University.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. All right.
I thought it was a trick question. I'm sitting here going, I know that one. Wait a minute. Maybe
I
don't.
It's literally just down Michigan over by Watertown.
Exactly.
Oh, like Evanston
and they
High
have
School.
A great, they do an annual radio conference, which is absolutely fantastic. When I worked at Downers Grove North High School, I was in charge of WDGC. It's split between North and South high schools. And they split the broadcast week, essentially, changing days back and forth. And I brought a number of our students over to that radio conference at Loyola University. It was awesome.
Look at you.
Well, you know.
Look at you.
I get around.
I get around. You do. I mean, and then there's like, you know, Evanston High School, WEHS. I mean, they all have kind of a local connotation to them.
Sure.
Zenith Radio had a TV station called WTZR. It was on Channel 1 when that frequency actually existed on a television set. It was there. There was a knob for Channel 1.
Yeah. Which I think I had a TV that actually had that on there. Because, you know, I'm way older than you.
Yeah. TV must have been wooden, I have to say.
Well, you know what the remote control was in our house?
Yeah, go turn the channel.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. Go turn the channel. I'm just shaking his
head. It must have been like the Flintstones back then. Jeez.
Flintstones had a TV. It was like a little rock.
Yeah, and then you send the bird and goes, you were that little bird.
When Roger talks about his childhood, I think of the Flintstones usually.
Yeah, I mean, that was 1,000 years ago, Roger? 1,500?
Oh, you're too nice. You're too nice. Let's go farther back.
I barely remember the 90s, you know?
Yeah, the 90s.
The 90s.
My God.
Please.
What else you got there, Raj?
I have WEFM, which was Edwin F. McDonald, former Zenith Corp president. President of the Zenith Corporation, WGCI, Globetrotter Communications Incorporated, WMBI, I think we all know. MBI?
Nope, help me.
No, Moody Bible Institute. They still broadcast.
Okay.
Maine Township High School, WMTH, of course. WNIB. Now, I'm trying to rack my memory. If I'm not mistaken, this used to be the second classical music station in Chicago.
Oh.
Until the family had to sell the station.
Gotcha.
At a time, we had two FM classical music stations in town. And then I believe it was NIB was the second one that had to go out of business, Northern Illinois Broadcasting. And then WNUA.
Oh, New Age.
New Age, yeah.
Dean was the morning guy there, wasn't he, Richards?
I think so, yeah.
For quite some time.
And he and I kind of almost crossed paths. Mm-hmm.
I think he avoided you, but...
Well, he still is. There's a piece of legal paper, I think. I don't bring it up that much.
Okay.
But Charlie Meyerson hired me to be a fill-in relief person just after I got my teaching license and right before I got my first job at Downers Grove. Mm-hmm. I was hired to come in there to fill in for Charlie. And I think Dean had just left WNUA.
Yeah.
Because he knew you were coming.
Well, of course. You know, when I started knocking on his door at home, I says, hey, I'm going to be working with you.
Don't do that. Yeah. Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's always a blast.
Yes, and it always is. It always is.